So we have Section 4, Number 6, Case 2453 regarding Hugo Santibanez, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on practice monitor report and respondents' updated procedures. Action may be taken, restore, or otherwise modify a respondent's privileges to perform surgical and anesthetic procedures. Hello, Mr. Carey. Oh,
hello.
And Dr. Santibanez is
not
here.
And I know Katie, the practice monitor, is ill, so I think she's joining by phone.
She's going to be added in telephonically here.
Hello?
Hi, Katie. It's Victoria. I got you on speakerphone here at the board meeting.
All right. Hello.
Hello. Are you still available to speak to the board?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just kind of losing my voice.
Okay. All righty. So everybody's here. Dr. Santibanez and Flynn are here as well. So I'm just going to turn you over to the board chair, okay?
Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, Ms. Solomon, you are the lead. So did you have questions for Katie?
Yes.
Before? Okay.
Katie, hi, this is Jane Solomon.
Hello.
I want to again commend you on your excellent monitor reports. They're very detailed, and as a layperson, they're very informative. So your expertise is much appreciated.
Thank you. I would like
to go in summary to the last, you know, you mentioned some good things, some not so great things, and you concluded with, I do see some minor improvements, and on paper things seem to be progressing. I'm still concerned that not much has changed or been implemented. Are you referring to the pain control, is there anything specific you're referring to in the latter? I know that some of the documentation, the forms you designed, they were going to wait and not implement them because there was a software system coming, but that wasn't for another 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
So
not any one thing in particular, just how I feel like every time we go there, I mean, I feel like we should be a little bit further than we are, and things should be implemented. So, I mean, the things I see improvement are the drug log, but there's only a few entries. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. They're not you doing a lot of entries because they can't, but at least the ones that are there are getting a little bit better besides, you know, the math issues that I wrote about. I don't see a lot of things implemented in general.
So since you started, how long have you been monitoring again this practice?
I think it's been 10 months, 9 or 10 months.
Okay. And you're stating that in that 9 or 10 months you've seen what you determined be a little progress?
I've definitely been spending less and less time there.
Okay.
Yeah, but for example, you know, like I wrote about the Parvo dog, and I mean, I thought we were way past the isolation protocol stuff. So it was just very disappointing and frustrating to see that none of those things had been implemented. That was from July.
And I never got to
directly like ask the doctor, but I had written in my report about the the surgery room essentially being kind of set up with the ISO filled and stuff. I'm not sure why, and they weren't able to provide me a reason why. So were they putting something under anesthesia? I mean, it's not written down anywhere, but that was a big red flag to me to see that set up in there.
But other than that, in the surgery room, it did not look like there was surgical waste. Were there used surgical instruments?
Every time I've been in there, there's been, like, the same dirty surgical pack, it looks like. It could have been a different one. I know they've done some laceration things and stuff, but I don't know. I just keep, there's dirty packs, but they always say those are ones that are going to get autoclaved. So I can't say yes or no to that, really.
It sounds like there's still lots of room for improvement.
Yes, I mean, things need to be implemented. Things need to be started. We need to see new processes. It needs to be in action.
Okie doke. Did you happen to receive a letter dated January the 10th from Flynn Carey in response to your report?
No.
I didn't see you CC'd on it, so I thought I'd ask. Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay. So I can't ask you at this point then to respond to his letter. Okay. Katie, I don't have any further questions. Again, I want to commend you on the detail in your report and your consistent and continued good efforts to bring this into compliance. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Carey. Okay. Do you have anything to add before Ms. Solomon has some?
Sure, just briefly. I think one area where Katie and I do disagree, notwithstanding the fact that we're working together very well, I think what we have developed is a little bit better of a rhythm now. She did probably within a week of the last board meeting come to my office with Dr. Santavinez and Ms. Palafox, and we worked to sort of map out the protocols, and the result of that was essentially some protocols in place that are pending approval by Katie. So I think if you were to go back and compare the initial protocol that was submitted by Dr. Santavinez 2 months ago versus the very much kind of broken out in some very specifics, those are there. They're in some great detail. We've included taking on some of the bigger issues that we see a lot, including some of the animals with breathing issues. We also will be working this month on some deliverables with Katie, including the anesthesia, further related to anesthesia that we mentioned in our response, that we have some specific items we want to work on some protocols with. So I think the protocols are being built out very significantly from where we were last month. Regarding the site inspection, the only expired item was expired surgical gloves that are used solely for surgery. And because no surgery is taking place, those gloves were removed immediately. The controls, I think, look much better. In addition, regarding the Parvo patient, that was a recheck. After the animal had been seen previously, and at the time it was there on the day of Katie's site visit, it had already been previously diagnosed and previously provided care. So this was essentially a courtesy recheck after Parvo. It was not one where suddenly Parvo was discovered. That animal was not given any opportunity to roam anywhere. It was placed in a loft in the in one of the rooms, and it was ensured that it did not interact with other animals, and we did provide as well the cleaning protocol that was utilized after it. So I think there are significant improvements. What we plan for the next month is we have set another visit for Katie to come out. We're trying to get them done much earlier in the month so that Katie has ample time to write her reports and we have ample time to work with her and send stuff to the board, because we were not happy with the dynamic of either Katie or us sending stuff to the board a day before a board meeting. So we've sort of backed out the schedule significantly. And our goal is to, again, go back through the protocols, and there's contemplated that we're going to do a mock surgery so that Katie can see the protocols for surgical in place. And offer feedback. And then also, Katie's been working with Dr. Santavinez and Enid to get some time for them to go to some other sites to see just general operations, examination, nose to tail, surgical. They did that with Dr. McCready, and Katie has suggested another practice that they're going to be going to, is our hope this month. So I think we are improving. I think there are, what I can say, and obviously I'm just a lawyer, so you can take it as whether with a grain of salt, but it really, I think, a market improvement from where we were last month to this month, especially on building out a lot of the written product.
Do we have the, has Katie had a chance to review, this started around specifically pain medications, as I recall.
Yes.
And do we have anything, has something been submitted to Katie for
yes.
review? Because she's our eye, again, is our eyes and ears. So protocols need to go through her before they come to us.
Right. And the reason they were submitted to the board is solely so you could get a snapshot of where we are. We were not asking today for any of the professional members to opine on them. I mean, certainly we'll welcome any input, but that was there so you could see where we are. They were given to Katie, I think, I want to say the day or two before she did her site visit, and then she actually sat down with us for about an hour, one by one, and made proposals, suggestions, changes. And also, she wanted to do a little bit more research on one of the medications, the Zorbium.
Yes.
And obviously, she had a cruise, and so she was out, and now she was ill, so I'm assuming that'll be our next action item this week.
Her concern there, as I'm sure you're aware, was that there was a staff member who seemed to have expertise in that area, but that Dr. Santibanez did not.
Right, and what I think is nice about, I mean, to the extent that a practice restriction can have a silver lining, is it's given us an opportunity to explore that issue of the Zorbium, whether or not, A, we're going to have the in-house talent to use it,
right.
and B, whether or not, you know, Katie, after reviewing it, is comfortable with its mechanism of action and the length of time it is, it actually has an impact on the animal. So that's something that Katie wanted to do some research on, and then the goal was at our next meeting, which I think is scheduled in about a week, I want to say, we'll be exploring that. So that we haven't committed to that. It's more of just we put that out there for Katie to opine on.
Do you think we're going to have a procedure to review by next meeting or 60 days or what are we looking at?
Our goal,
on the payment?
I mean, our goal is really twofold. We would like to get the protocols approved during this next month with Katie. The second part of that that Katie has suggested is reviewing some kind of mock procedure,
yes.
mock surgery, a nose to tail, which I think would give her the added assurance. And so that's the other step. And my hope would be we get that done in 30 days. If nothing else, I'd like to get the protocols finished because I think they're 85% of the way there.
Fingers crossed. I hope
yeah, we had one item that I think we just needed. You know, I am not a veterinarian, although I play one once a month here. I do want to sit down with Katie and really get some language on the circuit and a few of the items about some airway control issues. So we want to make sure that language is not lawyer language or staff language; it's veterinary language.
Can you tell me the time frame between the initial visit with the parvo case and the reject?
I do not know. Let me take a quick look. The positive test was December 30th, and the puppy was returned on or around January 2nd.
So
pretty quick.
Yeah.
It was
a short time frame.
It was a quick turnaround.
When we're talking about parvo.
Right.
Yeah. What I can say is that the animal remained in the owner's arms. He basically came in the lobby, was routed to a room, and once that animal was in the room, did not leave, owner did not leave, and it was cleaned as indicated in our document.
I don't know if that's isolation procedure or not.
Yeah, the preference that, or what we're planning on adopting is we have a room in the back, and what it has is a separate entrance, and so what we're going to be able to do is take the animals through that side entrance. One of the things they also did, is I think we included those for your review, is there's some really advanced health questionnaires, and we're going to start getting those completed so that those issues are flagged, and then the recommendation is more aggressive use of the ISO rooms, even in the instance where we don't have a confirmed parvo. One of the issues we're having, not with parvo, but infectious disease in general, is because of the socioeconomics in the area of some of the people who are bringing in their animals. They're resistant to testing. They're resistant to any kind of additional testing. They come in with a specific issue. They don't want to test for parvo. So the way we have to do that is at least get them isolated and set some boundaries with them. And so that's the plan, is to use, make more aggressive use of the, there's a separate lobby and a separate area for those three rooms.
Does that area, Flynn, have proper disposal of gowns and gloves and sharps, and
yeah,
so that it does not go back into the other area?
Yes, there's sharps. The sharps container in each room where any sharps would be used. So that's just standard. There is not circulation. The way the procedure contemplates is no circulation between things used in the parvo infectious disease room and the other rooms. And that's in the protocol. We took the initial protocol that was submitted back in June or July, and we built it out more to have several specific action items, as opposed to the way it read initially was sort of, this is why we're doing it, this is why we do this, as opposed to this is the mechanics of it.
Yes.
So yeah, that's been added, and the idea is that nothing in that room will be used for other purposes.
Or will be disposed of properly and won't leave the room inappropriately.
Right, okay. Right. That's where the PPE and the shoe covering and rescue use is detailed in the protocol.
Do any other board members have any questions? I don't have any.
Are we satisfied as board members that surgery isn't being done right now?
I'm concerned that the two containers related to the anesthesia were full. Why were they full if no surgeries being performed? But there wasn't evidence of used surgical, you know, like gloves or gowns, or, as far as I know from reading the report.
Okay.
Katie,
what I heard from Katie, and she was concerned.
Yes.
And
yes.
She's our engineer.
Correct.
So I just wanted to know if everybody else was satisfied.
But she did mention that they're doing laceration repairs.
And that would account for her.
Mm-hmm.
And is that okay? Did we say that was okay?
The suturing surgery?
Have we discussed that? Because it technically is.
That's what I thought.
It came up last time. The board didn't take a hard position on that. I think the reason the surgery came up, and why I think, you know, I would say that my request would be we be a little more focused on what we're calling surgery for the purpose of this consent agreement or restriction, is the real concern was the overall induction, maintenance, and then taking airway management and then post anesthetic management. There were concerns about the use of the drugs and whether or not we were using analgesics, things like that. So I think that all those items were really what prompted the restriction. So I think that a suture providing some kind of small type of care, I think anything could be considered surgery, but our hope would be the contemplation was we want to avoid use of essentially airway management, heavy duty analgesics, controlled substances, things like that with the animals from true what we consider surgery. And what I can tell you is from our documentation, including one of the ones that Katie reviewed, there was clearly a referral out for surgery to another provider.
Pyrometric.
So there is, they are adhering to it. I don't know the circumstances surrounding the canister, and licensee is unaware of why one of his staff set everything up, but it's not in use, and certainly that's gonna have to be removed, and we're essentially gonna have to start fresh if and when surgery is allowed, with labeling and documentation and a new canister.
I guess I would just have another, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but if we're talking about doing some minor lacerations, but we're not using anesthesia, we're not using any sort of sedative, we're not using
pain management.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we kind of, we're setting up parameters and then we're working a way around them, but it's not the ideal thing to be doing, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and we have previously had issues, right, with the surgical pack cleanliness the organic debris on the instruments, right?
And, and there were still, in Katie's report, two scalpels, I believe she referred to.
Two blades. But they were skin scrapes.
They could be used.
Yes.
Okay. To start trying to describe, what minor surgery could be done.
Well, I guess that's not even my point of minor surgery. The whole idea is, okay, if we are doing that, then what are we doing to manage the patient's pain and sedation?
Right.
Because if we're not allowed to use those drugs in order to render a level of sedation or pain management, then it's not whether or not we're using a surgical pack. It's
other things that apply to that type of procedure.
So
it would certainly fall under the perioperative scope.
What, if it's helpful, and I don't know if it is, but what prompted a reaction from Dr. Wright when we were here a few sessions ago was the ISO levels were going above 1 or 2%, and what that indicated to Dr. Wright, I think Dr. Vernon mentioned it, is you're not controlling if you're having the ISO bouncing up and down percentage-wise, and that was part of the what led to the practice restriction, is a concern about, you want to be in a position where the overall start to finish of putting someone under with airway control was being done in a way that didn't affect, ongoing up and down of the ISO. And so I think what I can say is the procedures that are being used are not relying on that level of sedation. And in part, when the procedures are being such that need that level of anesthesia or analgesic, it's being referred out. So there's not what I would consider to be.
Can you give me an example of that?
What types of procedures are you doing at this point? Are you doing any kind of suturing at this point?
No. I recall two opportunities that we did something in which we used the isoflurane and the. That's all. It's a dog bite wound, which one was with a lot of puncture wound everywhere and pain. We did the medical treatment, antibiotics, pain medicine, and the next day the owner came and said, well, the dog is full of mud and this area is a bad one, so can you do something for the pain in the dog and plug it, clip it? And we did that. We put an ISO. We clipped all the wound in the face and the neck and the back of the neck, and that's all, but no surgery.
Did ISO, did I hear you used ISO?
Yeah. I did the propofol, and I put just the maintenance isoflurane, that's all. That's why they used the machine. But there have not been done surgeries at all in the clinic for 3 months, no one surgery. I'm completely compliant, I'm sure, and everybody in the clinic will testify and not do any one surgery. Most of the surgeries are referred. And even my cat, will refer to other clinics to do a procedure like his pay or so, because they have so many cats, will refer an animal asked to do other veterinarian drug surgery.
How did you administer the gas?
I see.
By mask?
Yeah, put the mask, put the propofol and the mask, and that's all. Very short procedures.
And I think just so you're clear, even his own animals are out of the clinic. He had an arrangement for spaying and neutering in the area, because there's a lot of strays with the, I believe, the Humane Society. Those are all out at this point. There's no administration of those procedures either at this point. Including on its own animals. So I think the takeaway is, if there's guidance the board wants to provide by what it is comfortable with and not comfortable with, obviously we'll implement that, but I think there's been a cessation of, I think, what we would classically consider as surgery.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because there was mention from the practice monitor that some laceration repairs had occurred. But again, we shouldn't be doing laceration repairs if we're not using opioids, medications too. So I just want to make sure we're not creating a different problem
Using
certain stipulations. That was all to clarify.
I share that concern, Dr. Thompson. And because the issue that the surgery restriction came about from was mainly about the pain management and control.
Right.
So to fudge around the area of what surgery and still have the pain management control issue is not a solution.
Fair enough.
So I think, I turn to the DVMs on the board to say, is there any definition? Is there, that we could, and further guidance we could give them on surgery? No.
I think we've covered it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair, and obviously the workaround here is to get through this practice restriction to be in a position where we're not having to ask those questions or draw those lines, and that's what we're very singularly focused on, and that's why we're going to be meeting as quickly as we can with Katie again.
Okay, I don't have any further questions. Do any board members?
No further questions? Okay. So right now,
we're waiting until next month?
We're waiting until our next update.
And we would ask if the board would allow it. I know we were doing 60 days. If we could come back next month just to kind of, we have a rhythm going on this, and I think it's helpful to provide these updates. The board is comfortable with that.
If it helps you, absolutely.
I think it would be helpful to have these interim steps.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And Victoria, we don't need to do anything for coming back next month.
I'm sorry.
Katie, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for participating. If you're still there. No.
Feel better.
Maybe she's gone.
Okay, so moving on to...
Don't say that about the section.
Yeah, section 5, number 1.
Oh, Victoria's not going to say.
Board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license renewals. Now, Dr. Byrne, you are the lead on these A through O.
I'll go through them here.
Thank you.
In order.
And you guys cleared everybody out. Cleared everybody out.
Okay, the first one is number 4, period 1, period A, Dr. Cynthia Tom. She's involved with a traffic violation on the 29th of November for speeding on I-17. Wasn't involving anything with work or whatever, so I would make a motion to approve her renewal.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Number 5, period 1, period B, is Dr. Jennifer Seiss.
Yes.
She had a reportable charge of reckless driving. Was not reported. 4/24/24. She had a DUI that was dismissed and flagged that. So I would make a motion to approve her renewal.
Second. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The next one is number 5.1.C is Dr. Ashley Pickack. That was a Florida case that was closed. It had to do with a euthanasia of a lymphoma patient with secondary complications. The case is closed in Florida, so I make a motion to approve that renewal.
Second. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Next one is number 5, number 1, number D. Dr. Kimberly Ivy Thomas. And that's a case involving Phoenix Municipal Court with a domestic case that was dismissed. So I make a motion to approve that renewal.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5, period 1, period E, Dr. Kirsten Holcomb Wallace. This was a revocation of a North Carolina veterinary license secondary to failure to renew following an internship that she had attended there. So there was no disciplinary action. So I would make a motion to approve her renewal.
Second.
For motion and second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5, 1F, Dr. Joshua Harvey, DVM. It's basically, there were some reported charges based on a previous reviewed case in Arkansas. It looked to me like it was all resolved, so I would make a motion to approve that removal.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm going to skip over number G right now and come back to it at the end. So we're going to go to number 5-1-H, Dr. Amy Wong, DBM. That is involving a California complaint in July 2024. The Veterinary Medical Board of California determined no action needed. Case is closed, no further action. So I would make a motion to approve that renewal.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
The next one is number 5-1-I, Dr. Christopher Lee. He had two California dismissed cases, cases that were currently being processed in California, and I made a note to request notification of the endpoint resolution of the California case within 30 days of their resolution, and made a motion to approve his renewal.
Second.
So motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5-1-J, Dr. Christina Casper. That was a closed New York case of 12-30-24. The New York Office of Professions did not develop evidence to support an allegation. There was no disciplinary action. So I made a motion to approve that renewal.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5-1-K, Dr. Amy Mitchell. That's a dismissed Nevada case. Nevada State Vet Board investigation found no violation, so there's no disciplinary action. So I make a motion to approve that renewal.
And second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
Number 5-1-L, Dr. D. Deanna Thornell. This was involved in an Alaska case, and it was basically up for CE deficiencies. It looked to me like it was caught up, and that the actual Alaska vet license was renewed and current. So I would make a motion to approve that renewal.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
Next one is number 5-1-M, which is Dr. Catherine Delatorio. And this was involving a case with a neighbor. There was a report filing some trespassing charges. It doesn't involve veterinary medicine, but it looks to me like there's some dispute about property easements and access to riding or horses in the trail area or ranch. So it's kind of like a neighborhood feud. So I don't think it really involves her veterinary license. So I would make a motion to renew.
Second.
Approve her renewal.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5-1-N. It's Dr. Teresa McCollum. This was another Alaska license that had lapsed. There were issues without having enough CE completed. And I think she just hadn't reported it correctly or didn't have the certificate, or so she was 4 hours short, but I think she's made that up. That was Dr. McCall. So I made a motion to approve that renewal.
Second. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
The next one is number 5-1-O, which is Dr. Gabriel Cox. He had a DUI, and he just sent a letter in. I don't know if you guys saw it last night around 10 o'clock. So it looks to me like he's done. He had an instance in September. Fender bender, he's gone to therapy, made poor decisions. Stopped consumption of alcohol, so I made a motion to approve his renewal.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
And then I would probably make a move to go to executive session to do case number 5, period 1, period G.
So moved.
All right, so a motion and a second to go into executive session for legal advice, or is it?
Legal advice.
Legal, okay. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.